Welcome to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. I'm June Grosso. Every day we bring you insight and analysis into the most important legal news of the day. You can find more episodes of the Bloomberg Law Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcasts. President Trump has repeatedly criticized sanctuary cities and vowed to crack down on them.
Where is the condemnation of the Democrats' sanctuary cities that release violent criminals into our communities and then protect them?
Trump's executive order in January of last year threatened to withhold funding from cities that limit cooperation with immigration authorities. But California's sanctuary cities fought back and won. The Ninth Circuit has ruled that the executive order exceeded the president's authority and that the president can't refuse to disperse federal money to punish cities that adopt sanctuary policies. Joining me is Harold Krent, dean of the Chicago Kent College of Law and author of the book Presidential Powers. Howard, start by defining sanctuary cities, because it sometimes seems as if people have different definitions of what a sanctuary city is.
There are different definitions in folks' minds, but the nub of a sanctuary city is a city which has decided to protect undocumented immigrants within its city and will not share information with the federal government, particularly ICE, unless it has to. So it's not saying that they'll never share information, but they'll protect it where possible and not go out of their way to invite ICE to come into the city to possibly deport these individuals.
Describe Trump's executive order that the Ninth Circuit was considering.
So the Ninth Circuit, like the Seventh Circuit, has fought and decided whether or not the executive order was overbroad in threatening to defund or take away money from cities that followed the sanctuary city process. So many cities have sued, Chicago, Philadelphia, and cities in California, Santa Clara, amongst others, saying that this threatened defunding violates the separation of powers clause or theory of our Constitution, because it's Congress that has to make decisions as to funding and that the executive cannot add on new conditions or prohibit funding that otherwise was allowed by Congress.
So in a 2-1 vote, the Ninth Circuit found it was unconstitutional. Go into its reasoning in a little more depth.
So what the court held is that the executive order, because it threatened to remove all funding, clearly placed the city in an untenable position. It told the city that if it wanted to keep federal funds, it had to allow its police officers to communicate with the federal government and immigration authorities with respect to its knowledge of when people would leave its prisons who were undocumented. And this interfered with the theory of policing of these communities, and the idea is that there are a community. Individuals pay taxes, they go to school, and that the cities needed to create a supportive atmosphere to make sure that people worked with police and other authorities in the cities in case they were robbed, in case they were subject to an attack, etc., and that by sharing this information with the federal governments, they would lose all kind of respect and ability to curry the respect and cooperation of individuals within its borders. And more specifically, with respect to the law, these communities, again, across the country, have said that it's up to Congress to decide conditions on funding. And it may well be constitutional for Congress to say that any city that decided not to cooperate with the federal government would lose particular funding, but it's not for the executive branch to determine, because the Constitution allocates those kinds of spending decisions to Congress.
So this is a court decision that upholds the separation of powers.
Yeah, obviously that there are more than one view of the separation of powers, but that was the linchpin of the Ninth Circuit's decision, and it was close to the same kind of reasoning in the Seventh Circuit as well, because Congress has created these grant programs. It's up to Congress to decide how to fund these grant programs, so the executive branch can't change them in midstream.
Let's talk about how much federal money may be at stake. The judge's decision below cited statements from Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, which indicated that the order could jeopardize hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds. But at the Ninth Circuit, the Justice Department attorney told the judges that public statements from Trump or other administration officials shouldn't be given too much weight, and that less than $1 million for Santa Clara and possibly nothing for San Francisco was at stake. What did the Ninth Circuit do?
So one of the vulnerabilities of the Ninth Circuit decision is that it took Trump's statements and Jeff Sessions' statements at face value without necessarily tackling the realities on the ground. And indeed, the dissenting judge in that case said that it's not clear how many programs will actually be affected by this executive order. And indeed, it is not clear if any of the funding programs would be affected by the executive order, because it may just be bombast. It may just be the executive branch calling to its base as opposed to actually taking the necessary steps to remove funding. So it is not clear how much is actually at stake by this decision. In the Seventh Circuit, there was a more narrowed attack on one particular funding decision, the Edward Byrne funding decision, which had to do with necessary equipment for police stations and other law enforcement authorities. And that was involved in California as well. But that only came, at least in California and Chicago combined, probably to several millions of dollars at stake, not the hundreds of millions that was bandied about. But the fear is, and this is what the two of the three judges accepted in the Ninth Circuit, the fear is if Sessions and President Trump are going to say that this is going to affect hundreds of millions, we have to take it seriously. We're going to take the executive order at its face value and at its broadest, and that gives us a basis to strike it down.
We've seen some judges issue injunctions that block Trump's actions nationwide, as in the travel ban. The Trump administration had a victory with one part of the Ninth Circuit's decision concerning the nationwide injunction the court below issued. Tell us about that.
So to take a step back, we have, depending on how you count, 11 or 12 different circuit courts of appeals in this country. And the idea about a healthy legal system is that some issues should not be decided all at once, some legal issues, but rather they should percolate or bounce back and forth between different circuits so that the Fifth Circuit, which is in the South, may decide an issue differently than the First Circuit up in the Northeast, and that only with time and different fact patterns will the issues become more clear, and either Congress can step in or the Supreme Court can then resolve if there is an irreconcilable difference. For one particular court of appeals to issue a nationwide injunction stops all dialogue. It basically says either take this up to the Supreme Court or live with the injunction. So we as a society are deprived of nuance, of back and forth, of being able to allow these issues to percolate to the fore. And so there is a reluctance to allow nationwide injunctions. But in the wake of certainly with the travel ban and some other cases involving challenges to the Trump administration, we have seen a growth of nationwide injunctions. But in this case, both in the Seventh Circuit and Ninth Circuit, the court decided so far to narrow the injunction so that it would not apply throughout the entire nation, but only within the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit, mainly California, or the jurisdiction of Seventh Circuit, Illinois, Indiana, and so forth. It's more limited judicial power, less in terms of judicial activism, and it allows other judges, based upon similar fact patterns, but not the same, to come to a legal resolution to see if there's agreement or disagreement.
This isn't the end of the case in the Ninth Circuit. What happens now?
The court remanded the issue back to the district court judge to determine whether the factual issues are such that the court should issue a nationwide injunction. So we may still nonetheless see a nationwide injunction coming out of the district court in California. The factors are a little bit unclear that the district court is supposed to use. It's supposed to create a record to determine whether or not there is an absolute need for a nationwide injunction. Part of the issue will turn on, are there different facts in different communities? Has the administration decided to treat different communities across the country differently as well? If so, that would make a nationwide injunction less appealable. To compare this to the Trump travel ban, in that case, we knew there was one policy, and because of immigration, it had to affect almost all communities, or probably all communities in the United States, the same. Here, with respect to the funding grants, it may be different because we don't know exactly how the administration was going to apply its policy to different communities across the country, so the legal issues may, in fact, have varied slightly. So there's certainly more of a compelling national interest in speed and because of the same legal issues involved to have a nationwide injunction in the travel ban case as opposed to here in the funding programs, because the nature of the funding programs and the nature, again, of the administration's action from community may differ.
it seems as if the Trump administration has been losing on the issue of sanctuary cities. Is that true, or are
absolutely
there some
true? It's absolutely true, because, and I think that this is a case where red, for all it's worth, the Trump administration simply overstepped its bounds. Congress makes up the grant programs. Indeed, for the Edwin Berman Memorial Fund, it's a very specific formula of how much each community is supposed to get for the special services that are supposed to be given to law enforcement agencies. And for the president to come in and alter that carefully crafted scheme by Congress is for the president to overstep its bounds and step on the toes of Congress, because it is Congress that sets up these programs, Congress that has to decide who gets what money and why. And indeed, Congress will be considering whether or not to put the feet of the fire of the communities who are refusing to cooperate with ICE in various ways, but it hasn't done that yet. And until it does so, the president cannot step in and punish the cities.
Thanks for being on Bloomberg Law, Harold. That's Harold Krent, Dean of the Chicago Kent College of Law. Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. You can subscribe and listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcast. I'm June Grosso. This is Bloomberg.